Hello there, Verbal Shenanigans fans. It's Scott, your boy. I want to tell you about the new sponsor we're very excited to work with. Let me try to get a work with. And that's DraftKings.com. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Guy gets injured, no big deal. Start again the next day. Okay? You like fantasy baseball? You get a new team every day. It's awesome. Just pick your sport and draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Over $1 billion will be won at DraftKings.com this year, and you could be the next to win. Big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code Shenanigans to play for free. That's Shenanigans for free entry now at DraftKings.com. Do it, people. All sorts of different sports you can play, whether you're an MMA fan, a golf fan, a racing fan, you name it, go to DraftKings.com, promo code Shenanigans. Hey, Berlu.
What's up there, Scotty?
Nothing got to talk about a new sponsor, and our latest sponsor been sponsoring us for the last month or two.
Ooh.
And we could not be happier
Impossible.
To work with him because it is going down. Hopefully there's a comedy show coming out of this. The
Ooh.
Wolf Nation. Wolf Nation. W-U-L-F Nation. Michael Berlu.
I'll tell you one thing. That'll be the most stylish comedy show ever.
All right. Let's see. Let's see if you picked up on what W-U-L-F stands for. All right. Here we go.
All right. Wake.
Yes.
Up.
Yes.
Live.
Yes.
Free.
Wake up, live free. Because you know what, Berlu? That's what a wolf does.
Yeah, he would.
Wolf does. And when Richard came on before, he told us that, like, when you were poor and you were in the struggle and you were just growing a beard because you couldn't shave, you were wolfing it.
That's passionate, man.
Wolfing it. You were just wolfing it. And now he's embraced it and he's making a great brand. Wolf Nation. Wolf Nation. The website's coming out. Wolf Nation. Instagram. Wolf Nation. Twitter. Wolf Nation. Facebook. Wolf Nation. And it's just freaking awesome to have him as a partner. And I suggest you check it out. He has a couple different lines coming out. He's got some nice sporty kind of apparel, but he's also going to have some designer kind of gear, things you can dress
nice.
Up on, go to the parties, freaking get your little wolfettes all over you.
I'm going to party.
Wolfettes. But W-U-L-F, wake up, live free. Ow! Check out Wolf Nation, people.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Well, hello, and welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. We are on location, Michael Berlu.
Oh, yes.
We're back. We haven't done a live event in a while. Feels good to be set up amongst a bunch of people in a gymnasium.
Be amongst the fans of Verbal Shenanigans,
yes,
if you will.
Yes. Why don't you tell them where we're at?
We are at Parsippany High School in New Jersey. And we are here just before the big event here at United Pro Wrestling Association. They're having a big event here tonight with a bunch of different wrestlers. They're raising money for the Booster Club for the Parsippany High School.
Ah, yes, the Booster Club. I love them.
Yeah.
They were great in the 80s. They opened for Devo.
Ah.
Booster Club, Flock of Seagulls.
Are we going to get Flock of Seagulls on the podcast?
I mean, why not? Add him to the spreadsheet.
All right. We're on location. I don't have my laptop, so.
But yes, we got brought here through Big Irish Pete Nixon. So mm-hmm. If you go back a whole bunch of episodes, and we kind of communicated, he's wrestling tonight. And
We're here and hopefully going to gather a whole bunch of different wrestlers, maybe some promoters and whatnot.
The refs, the guys who build the ring, and all. Let's learn everything about this independent wrestling.
Oh, yeah. So we are what you would picture your independent wrestling event. We are in a gymnasium with a ring set up and a couple rows and the bleachers and whatnot. And we are excited to broadcast here. And
should be fun.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like... I've seen The Wrestler a few times. I love that movie. It's when we walked in, it was kind of just like that. There's tables with like everyone's name on it, a bunch of guys hanging around, just a ring in there. You could hear a pin drop, and now it's starting to seems like a lot of people.
If you've seen a one-trick pony, then you've seen me.
Now people are starting to file in, which I think are a lot of the wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
So we should have a bunch on now. Michael Burley, I've told you before that I am very experienced in this realm.
Yes, a backyard wrestling champion.
Yeah, I was the champ, mm-hmm. and I went under the name of Rampage. That was my name.
Ooh,
and I wore striped socks and I talked to myself. It was very original. And
I talked to myself too.
Yeah, but you're not wrestling. That's the weird part. But it's so funny. We had written all our pay-per-views out, like our events, like what was going to happen, and we did all these like promo videos. And it's funny today. I was packing stuff in the house, and I found the original tape. So that's definitely going to make its way somewhere on onto the podcast.
So you guys were like the original or the independent Vince McMahons of the world, and
yes.
all getting everything going. Whatever you say goes.
Yeah, we were EHW. We were Eastern. Hardcore wrestling.
Gee, oh man.
Original.
Oh man, I wish I saw one of your pay-per-views, man.
Yeah. We had two pay-per-views. One was in the park across the street, which I think I mentioned. And the other one was in my buddy's backyard. So
some big
you know,
events,
if you were
man.
There, if you were there, magic things happened. I jumped off a backstop of a baseball field.
Nice. How far up was that?
It was actually pretty high. I mean, I don't know. What's the backstop? Maybe 15 feet?
I would 12, say about
15
that.
Feet? Something like that? Yeah, I was jumping off it like an idiot. And as I mentioned before, we had a buddy, like, come hook up his electric guitar, and he was playing, like, Korn and stuff like that, like, live. The cops came. They're like, what are you doing? We're like,
We're beating the shit out of each other.
Our ring lasted for about 8 seconds. We had a bunch of, like, wooden dowels with ropes wrapped around them. It fell down in about 4 minutes. We had blood packets where we filled up plastic bags with fake blood. And
nice.
My sister came to the event, and I took a shot to the head with probably, like, a cooking pan or something like that, and... I squirted, but she thought I was really bleeding and ran home to my grandmother. we had this one kid. He was like this really dorky kid from the neighborhood. His name was Billy, and we just made mm-hmm. him Billy the Jobber, where his matches lasted 4 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a kid put him like through a table, and he got like really injured and like cried and went home. Like he didn't even stay for the rest of it.
Man, this guy's sticking to his character. Amazing.
My friend Brett, who I mentioned before, he was the black kid. His name, we named him Bronze Brooklyn, was his wrestling
Ooh.
Name. And my friend's putting him in like a, I only remember it as a Steiner recliner. Like he was holding his head back,
mm-hmm.
and he like jumped up and down like 3 or 4 times, and he dropped him, and his face just went straight into the dirt, and he had like grass in his afro.
So when the WWE put out those things that say, please don't try this at home, you kind of...
Yeah, I mean, this was like in that prime era of like
ECW.
The Attitude era, like ECW. So everyone was watching it, and I started slowly getting out of it. But my friend Alex, who's still really into wrestling, we used to like we used to play with wrestling figures, like maybe in like ninth grade, like where we were in high school. Like that's way too old. And we'd have like pay per view set up. He'd make like cardboard sets for like the pay per views, and I'll never forget he. This is when the Insane Clown Posse was around in the mm-hmm. wrestling tomb, and he took like a mask or something like that and painted the face of a Billy Gunn figure and made him the Great Malenko, and he was like the world champion. And we would go to like Bradley's or Kmart and get new figures and surprise each other on the figures that were coming out. They're such fucking douchebags. But I mean, I guess we could have been doing like crack or drugs.
Yeah, that would
safer
been,
alternative.
That'd been cooler.
Probably been way better.
Would have been way more popular in high school.
We had oh my god, we would turn the lights out and have like a flashlight and shine it on like the guys entering the ring.
I just see you playing with the two figures and somebody shuts off the light. What's going on? Yeah. What's going to be? No.
I remember I got a Psycho Sid figure and he was like, we made him like dominate everything. Like he just power bombed everybody.
Did you break his leg in two like his last match?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was pretty pathetic and spent many years in the into wrestling and I kind of petered out, like I said, early high school. Now you still tune in here and there.
I tune in here and there. I mean, it's not as big as like in the day, like in the Attitude Era. The best story I can tell you is like I remember we had an illegal cable box, so
I had those too. Yeah, got a couple pay per views for free.
Yeah, so like I invited my buddy over to watch it, and my dad was like freaking out, you know, because back in the day it's like, oh my god, they find out, man, the cops will be over, blah 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 blah. He's like, you can't tell them we got an illegal box. You mm-hmm. can't tell them. Mm-hmm. Like, all right. So he comes down. I think it was like a SummerSlam. We're watching it. We're all psyched out. Pay-per-view ends. We're just playing around. Then the replay of the pay-per-view comes along. He's like, what the heck is going on? I'm like, I don't know. So the replay goes through, and we're watching it. And then, like, after that is, like, the softcore, like, porn.
Oh, yeah, Spice Channel.
He's like, what does this, what's going on? I have no idea. So I'm, like, playing it all. He got so, like, freaked out. He's like, this is amazing, man. Wrestling and porn.
Like,
Milton, that was
another
his name.
Interesting. There's a wrestling federation. I don't even know if it's still around. It's called CZW. It's Combat Zone Wrestling.
I somewhat remember that one.
And like brutally, like just like people barbed wire and glass mm-hmm. and all that. And I was never into it, but my friend Alex, was like, come to an event. It's crazy. We went to this. It was called the Tournament of Death, and it was in the back, in the parking lot of a bar in Delaware. And dude,
anything that happens in the parking lot in Delaware.
It was just disgusting, man. Guys bleeding and spitting blood everywhere, glass and tack. And they had to wrestle like three matches to get through the tournament. So they'd be all sewn up. One guy like ripped his freaking
tendon?
His arm or something, like an artery. And he's flexing and the blood is just shooting out of his arm. And he's drinking his blood from his arm. And he had to go like be rushed to the hospital. They're like, blah, 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 can't make it to the final event. So in his place is some other hardcore lunatic. They're throwing each other off of, like, cars. And one guy went off the top of the building through, like, tables and glass and bar. And people bringing weapons. And it was that's barbaric.
Like, that's like the old New Jack wrestling event. Yeah, where exactly, he would just show up with, like, a staple gun. And he's like, I'm using it on
you. It was like, I remember that Balls Mahoney guy. Like,
I met him once.
Yeah.
I was at a Motley Crue concert with a buddy, and both me and him were like hammered.
Yeah.
Hammered beyond belief, and we're in the line for another beer. And I'm looking, oh, dude, that's Balls Mahoney, man. And he doesn't know wrestling. Who's that? He's from ECW, man. He's like, you should say hi. I'm like, no, man, he's too big, man. I don't want to interrupt
too
him
big.
And I don't want to interrupt him. And then he like, I guess he like hurries, like, hey man, how's it going? He's shaking my hand. I'm like, oh man, I love you, man. I didn't want to interrupt you because I don't want to be one of those dicks that do good. He's like, no, dude, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's like seeing George Clooney or the president or Balls Mahoney. It's like
the other wrestler I met in my life, I was at Delilah's Den strip club.
Oh.
And I saw Tommy Dreamer there.
Oh, nice. I met Mick Foley, I met The Rock,
mm-hmm.
and I met my favorite wrestler was Al Snow. That was my favorite wrestler.
What does everybody want?
Hey! But I remember like the ECW days, like when it was getting big, my friend was trying to get me in. It was on at like 12:30 at night at some random station.
Oh, yeah.
You had to like catch it. Like otherwise, you'd never see it. He would tape them all. One of the best stories before we break and get a guest on. He taped, like, every wrestling, like, Raw. He taped it, you know, with yeah. tape. And it was so funny because he also, like, taped a bunch of porn. And
so it was, like, my pay-per-view.
It was so funny, yeah. to hide his porn from his mom, he labeled his porn as wrestling tape. So, like, to this day, I'm like, dude, you still got the Best of Hulk Hogan and WCW tape? And it was just, like, 3 hours of porn.
Yeah, SummerSlam has a different meaning in this. Yeah.
Hell in the cell. Hell in her cell. So, yeah, we're going to...
King of the cock ring.
Well, that's a little wrestling background. We're going to go get some people on, and we'll be
right
back with the UPWA Parsippany High School. I don't know what we call this, like a showcase or event? Or...
I would say event.
Okay, the event. And we'll be right back. All right, and we have our first guest on here. It's he's been on the podcast before, and he's Big Irish Pete Nixon. It's, you know, he's on the event tonight, and I think you're fighting for the championship, correct?
That is correct. I'll be taking on the current UPWA heavyweight champion, the Stro. You guys might remember him from his run in WCW.
The Maestro?
During the Monday Night Wars, yep, as the Maestro. He's actually the great-nephew of Gorgeous George, the original.
Ah.
So a lot of history and a lot of...
It's not the female valet from the Macho Man.
No, no, no. There was no pornos in his family.
Well, we just talked about that. It's just full circle here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're broadcasting live here from... well, it's live now. It will be live in a week when we put it up. But broadcasting live here from the auditorium here, the gym. And so how does... Let me ask you something. How does a wrestling organization slip up and let you into the main event?
Oh, come on, man. This man has a history in wrestling.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for... How long have you been doing
it? Well, since I've been busting my hump for the last 15 years or so.
Damn right.
15 years.
Started my way doing rings first and then working my way up. Yeah,
you should have stuck with it.
And,
Do you mind?
Sorry.
This could be a future champion we're talking to.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like, every dog has his day.
This will be my second run as champion when I win tonight. You know, I got a lot of respect for my opponent. He's got a great history behind him, too. He's been all over the world. He's seen that, done this. And it's going to be a tough fight tonight.
Now, you're just returning to the ring now. Is that correct?
Right. This is my first time back in probably about a year and a half.
Okay.
We didn't miss you. I'll just make that clear.
So what's the mindset when you're out of the ring for that long and all? How do you
the last few months have just been spent training, you know, at least twice a week.
Okay.
For 4 to 5 hours each session, just getting in the ring and just working out and just exactly what you said, shaking that ring rust off and you know, just going full speed and not looking back.
Like, how long does it take to get your cardio up to do, like, a match?
Definitely, it took a while. It probably took, like, probably at least 2 to 3 weeks of constant. And that was going to the gym, working on cardio, and then running the ropes and, you know, being in the ring twice a week. And it definitely caught up with me not being in the ring.
So now, like, being that this is going to be your last time in the ring because, you know, Stro's going to take him down tonight.
Give the man some respect.
Is there any last words you'd like to say to your fans?
Well, for everyone except Scott, I'd like to say thanks for coming out. Thank you for supporting this great show. It is a benefit for the Parsippany Wrestling Boosters Club. So the money is going to a good cause. There's a lot of kids that, you know, are going to use this at the school. And thank you for everybody coming out, checking out the show, checking out the podcast. And thank you.
I mean, he's very much a class act and all. We can look forward to him being a champion, Scott.
You know, it's like since the last... I thought he was a nice guy when he came on the first time. He was a nice guy. He came to my house, and I just can't tell you the things he did to my house.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, on the way, things were broken.
Why do you make these things up?
I couldn't find my dog for a couple hours.
The guy
is not... He's just not a good
guy. You're just jealous of the man. You're jealous that he's a champion and your Mets aren't.
I don't know. But that's cold, man. That's cold. But, I mean, in all seriousness, Pete, thanks for having us down here and popping on. And
let's do one more thing.
Okay.
A little game I'd like to try. Now, the last time you were on, we had you do, like, a promo on me. And
yes.
Now, I would like the same thing for Scott, but to spice it up a little bit... I have a bunch of names in this bag here.
Okay.
And I'd like you to cut a promo as if he's whatever's on this card and we'll see if he can figure out who it is.
Okay.
So I have to figure out who I am?
Yes.
Okay.
He's spinning a promo
All right.
on whomever is getting on this card, and you have to figure out who it is.
Yeah, he looks befuddled.
You know something? Every time I see this guy on my TV, I just get disgusted. All he does is making up his own words, you know. Always looks like he's on, you know, smoking the marijuana. And
Snoop Dogg.
You are correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Snoop Dogg, you're in trouble, man.
But anyway, Pete, good luck tonight, maybe.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for having us down, and we're looking forward to the event here.
Thanks.
Cool.
All right, that was the... thank God we got Pete Nixon out of the way. I can't stand that guy.
What is wrong with you?
You know, he's just setting Irish people back years.
You should be proud of the man.
No, I'm not, you know, because us as
He's a hot dog eating champion, he's a champion in Hollywood, and he's going to be a champion in the
ring. He's not
a
champion in my heart. He's not a champion in my heart. He's,
there's no pleasing you.
You know, he's the worst thing to happen to Irish people since the potato famine.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
But anyway, we're joined by Justin Parker. Okay, Justin Parker, he's got a sweet hairdo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go out on the line and say, Justin Parker, you may be Italian.
I am not Italian, actually,
what?
And I get that all the time.
That's ridiculous.
I am Russian.
You're Russian?
Really?
Russian, yes.
Russian, yep. Okay. It was the gold chain and the haircut that got me.
Silver. But I get that a lot, and to be honest with you, you're not Italian. Not one bit.
Wow.
Nope. Well, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Sorry, I get it all the time.
But, Justin, you're wrestling here tonight,
yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you look young.
Yep.
You look young. And so how young are you, if you don't
I'm
mind?
I'm only 19.
19 years old.
That young.
Yeah.
So what got you into this business or this wrestling business? And we're in Parsippany High School right now. Were you a wrestling fan?
I was a wrestling fan my whole life since probably the Attitude Era.
Yep.
I remember watching when I was about 2 years old, so... You know, just all those characters just got me hooked. I wrestled in high school, and I always knew I wanted to do this one day. So started the day before my 18th birthday, and, you know, been wrestling since. So it's been a year.
So how do you get started with that? How do you go from, like, wrestling in high school? Do you have to contact somebody? Do you go to wrestling school?
Well, you know, I did some research. You know, actually, Nunzio is actually from my area. I'm from Rockin County, by the way.
From ECW?
Yep. So, you know, I found out where he trained, and, you know, I just, you know, kind of, I don't want to say followed his footsteps, but, you know, found something local and just started going with it. You know, my brother and I started on the same day, and the rest is, you know, history.
So you were saying that you and your brother are a tag team normally.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And tonight you're going one-on-one.
Yep.
Now, is it dissension in the family here, or is it... Is it? We're
know
just
what?
Trying
it's,
to see who. Who
it's can... never happened, and for some reason, you know, we go places, and just we're always a team. But tonight, we're just gonna settle it, and you know, it's a little sibling rivalry that you know has just never been, you know, done before. So
yeah,
I'm about to do this, you know.
Now, does that make you more comfortable since you've been wrestling with him for so long, or is it kind of tense?
We both know each other's movesets, so, you know, it's almost like we can predict what's going to happen. But, you know, I have something up my sleeve tonight that he won't know about, so,
right.
You know,
nice.
Got to just catch him off guard.
Now,
you know?
do you wear sleeves when you wrestle?
I actually don't. I wear elbow pads.
Now, as a 19-year-old kid, you're wrestling... does this become a full-time thing, or is it whenever you can get your hands on it? Or?
I go to school because, you know, need a backup plan, of course. You know,
obviously.
I'm not making too much money.
My college degree is my backup plan still, too. So
I go to college, you know, during the week, and, you know, during the week I also go to the gym and, you know, we go to wrestling school and train, you know. So I almost never have time to even just, you know, hang out with friends and, you know, just... No,
all he does is wrestle, school, and podcast.
And sometimes I miss out on assignments in school, too, just because I'm getting home at, like, 2 in the morning from wrestling, and I'm just like, oh, you know, but... You know,
where's your essay? All right, I got hit in my head by a chair.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is why do the wrestling? It's got to be a passion, because it's definitely not paying you enough to live. What is it about it?
I just...
the performance, the staying in shape.
Like, yeah, definitely both of those. You know, I love you know, fitness. You know, I love staying in shape, right, going to the gym and whatnot. But it's also just, you know, performing, you know. And I don't know. It, you know, a lot of people from my wrestling team, they're just like, why do you do it? And I'm just, I like to entertain people, and I like to get people off their feet, you know, because, you know, you can be in an amateur match, and it can be just straight, like, you know, shooting in. You know, there's silence in the gym, but, you know, right, I can do a drop kick and people will go, wow, you know what I mean? So I'm just like, you know, I like getting a reaction, and, you know, it's just something I've always wanted to do.
Where has the wrestling taken you? Like, all over the place, or you basically in Jersey, or?
We perform in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I've been to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to Maine next weekend.
Nice.
You know, just wherever I can get to, you know, just, you know, baby steps, you know.
What should we expect from you tonight in the ring?
We're opening it up, so, you know, we're just going to try to get the, you know, the crowd going, you know, so we can get the show, you know, set on the right direction, and, you know, hopefully, you know, the show is great. All I can say is, you know, just watch out for Justin Parker.
Nice.
Now, if people wanted to check you out, like, online or see any of your stuff, is there anywhere they can go?
Well, I have an Instagram. It's J.D96. That's the year I was born, by the way.
Wow.
I have Facebook. We're actually a tag team. We're called the Amazing Graysons. If you follow Batman, you know, ooh, Nightwing, you know, so comic book nerds, we're a tag team called the Amazing Graysons. So you can us up on Facebook. We have a fan page. And other than that, you know, that's about it. I think we're starting a Twitter soon. I'm not really too big into Twitter, but yep, I have to get one eventually.
So
soon.
You're a comic book nerd?
Yes.
I have a question. Today I was going through my house.
Okay.
And I found 4 issues of Deadpool.
Deadpool's awesome.
2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
You think they're worth anything? I don't know anything about comics.
I think it's second issue. I'm not sure if they're going to be worth what you're looking for.
He wants to retire.
$40.
$40. You know, it can probably
maybe.
It, more or less. You know, it all depends. But first issue, you know, it's definitely gonna be worth something.
Yeah.
I
figure now is the time to sell since the movie's coming out.
You know, a huge comic fan. You know, unfortunately for the past 2 years, you know, we haven't been able to go to New York Comic Con just, you know, because of wrestling and stuff, and, you know, paying tuition and all that. You know, so we can't really afford to buy our action figures and statues and comic books. So, you know, it's like, you know, but it's worth it, and, you know, hopefully we'll come back to Comic-Con soon. You know, I actually heard they did a wrestling show there, you know, this year.
At Comic-Con?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Apparently they did. I mean, I would like to get booked on that soon, hopefully.
Now, the UPWA, like, is that like an independent thing? You just get booked every once in a while, or you belong to that? Like, how does that work?
Well, actually, over the summer, Mike Orlando and I, who actually is versing Bobby Lashley, by the way, Earl Hebner is the special guest referee, him and I did a trip to North Carolina, you know, over the summer, just him and I, and he told me about UPWA and how, you know, great of a place it is, and, you know, found out he was doing a show in Parsippany. I was like, you know, get me on there, you know? So,
awesome.
You know.
It's kind of like a comedy thing, almost. It's just like, hey, yeah, like, I heard you do a show.
Yeah, you know, I'm just like, oh.
How does that work? It's just like, they just sign you for the night, like they just pay for the night, or is it like a thing that you stay with and go?
Well, you know, we do wrestle other places, but, you know, I would like to wrestle for UPWA as much as possible if they're in the area locally. And, you know, I'm definitely willing to go back down to North Carolina when they run there soon again, you know.
Awesome.
Hopefully,
anything else?
You know,
I guess we're winding it up now. Now, what we're asking all the wrestlers to do is we would like you to shoot a promo on my buddy Scott here. But what we're asking, if you could pull a name out of there, this bag, and cut the promo as if he was that person in the bag.
All right.
And I got to try to guess who you are.
Yeah.
All right. Who I am.
Frank Sinatra.
Okay. See, you told me the answer.
Oh, my God. I botched.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, pull another one.
Now
back.
I know you're not an Italian. If you had Frank Sinatra.
No,
Frank
my grandpa Sinatra. Actually met Frank Sinatra. I have a picture of that.
Really?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
My grandpa wrestled him.
Yeah.
No. All right.
I'm an agent.
No. You're trash-talking who I... That's who I am.
Okay.
And you're going to wrestle.
Yeah, you're going to wrestle.
So you think you can go around the world, you know, meet a bunch of chicks, spend the night with them, and just leave them? Like
Lamar Odom? No.
Are you serious right now? Like, you know, you think you're all like secret, you know, you have all these crazy gadgets and, you know, you're driving.
James Bond.
Yes.
Woo! All right, Justin, thank you for popping up.
Thank you so
and
much
good luck
for
tonight
me.
Against
thank
your brother
you.
Who's
so
standing
benign.
By.
He's benign. He's benign you. I don't know about this. He's
watch your back, brother.
All right, we just had Justin Parker on, and even though we fouled up the Frank Sinatra thing, I think
he's young.
He's young, but I think he's
when he faces Frank Sinatra in the WWF, that's when he'll get it right.
Or what was his daughter's name? The boots are made for walking, girl.
Oh it, yeah,
whatever. Frank Sinatra's daughter.
Well,
no one cares about
Jr.
her. She was terrible anyway. But he's facing his brother who is right across from us, who has even more intricate haircut. Even more. There's lines and there's spikes. And we found out that you guys are not Italian.
No, we're actually not. Did he give away what our actual heritage was?
He said you guys were Russian.
Russian.
Yep, Russian, Eastern European, raised in a Reformed Jewish family. We're not very religious at all, though. But, yeah, we're typical New Yorkers. But a lot of people always always think I'm either Italian or Puerto Rican. He usually gets Italian. But, I like kind of messing with people and saying, oh, take a guess or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So we found out that you guys are a tag team normally.
Correct.
But tonight, it's a little different.
Tonight, it's actually a lot different. Yeah. Normally, we're a tag team called the Amazing Graysons. I'm Daryl, he's JP.
Right.
But kind of like how Eminem has Slim Shady, Daryl Grayson has Tommy Spencer.
Tommy Spencer.
Ooh. Yep. So the way I like to think of it as is this. Daryl Grayson's kind of, you know, the happy-go-lucky crime fighter from Gotham, New York.
Okay.
You know, Dropkick City, he likes to refer to it as.
Okay.
Tommy Spencer's kind of just this guy, you know, who no one really gave attention to. He's kind of like the Jason Todd of the Bat family. A lot of people really don't give him the credit he deserves. He's the older brother, but his younger brother's more physically imposing in the ring, and that's just a given. I'm not going to, you know, deny it, but Tommy Spencer's still the better wrestler, and you guys are definitely going to see that when we tear the house down tonight.
So you guys are opening up. So now it's a sibling rivalry here tonight. So how do you put aside the tag team success you guys have had for a one-night match here?
Simple. You don't think or wrestle like a tag team wrestler. When we are a tag team, we are a unit. There's not one drop kick. There's two drop kicks. There's not one victory. It's a dual victory. I'm in this for mine. And mine only. That's how you have to think. That's how a singles competitor thinks. But to crank it up a notch, you did mention we had the brother rivalry. I was distracted by a lady in blonde wearing a neon green shirt. I apologize.
It happens.
Yeah. You have to take everything and you have to put it into a ball of energy and say, okay, I'm Tommy Spencer. I have my younger brother here who normally is by my side, but he wants to go and he wants to wrestle by himself tonight. So who else should he see opposite of the ring tonight but me?
So you're the older brother.
Correct.
Like, you got to put him in place tonight.
Which is what's going to happen.
You know, I'm shifting. I'm flip-flopping. I am getting rid of my original prediction. I think you're going to win tonight.
Thank you.
Good job, Donald Trump.
Yep, I'm flip-flopping. I tend to do that with my wrestling matches, but I'm going with you tonight. I'm going with Spencer.
Now, what are we going to see tonight? Is it going to be very aerial? Are you a very ground control kind of wrestler?
Well, traditionally, Daryl Grayson's a very offensive aerial wrestler, meaning he likes to fly. He likes to have a very, very aerial-based moveset. Tommy Spencer's a little different. He likes to bust out the fancy you-know-what when it has to go down. Ooh. But I think tonight you're going to see a lot more of the, as I previously stated, the Jason Todd style. You know, maybe not as flippy, maybe a little bit more hard-hitting, maybe a little bit more aggressive. What I like to think of is that wrestlers and wrestling in general is like a comic book. It has a beginning, a middle, and end. There's characters you identify with. There's additions that you maybe favor. I like a lot of the darker, the grittier kind of stuff. And those are the characters that I identify with. And you see that a lot in the ring. So the way Tommy Spencer operates is maybe a little bit more of a post Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of offense maneuver.
And there's no way we can, like, call your parents to settle this difference. And all. I mean, Thanksgiving is coming up.
That's what I was thinking. Thanksgiving rivalry. This is big. Right. Family holiday could be really awkward.
Is there, like, an uncle that we can contact, maybe?
I don't know. I think I think in keeping up with Grayson tradition, we're orphans. So there really isn't a lot of backstory to flesh out. However, if you're looking for a similar situation, you might want to call up the Manning family because they had to sit there and they had to watch their two sons go head-to-head in the biggest football moment in professional football history.
Now, is there a third brother that's like Cooper somewhere?
Yeah, Cooper's the oldest, so I'm a little worried about you right now.
There is indeed a third brother. His name is Trevor. He is 14 years old. He's an amateur wrestler. Really? He has come along and assisted us in wrestling and trained as well. Due to athletic commissions and legality, he cannot physically compete in a match for another 4 years. But we are grooming him so that maybe one day, when all this Tommy Spencer, Justin Parker rivalry is over, we could be the trifecta family.
Cooper will get his day in the sun. but in all seriousness, what does wrestling do for you? Like, why pursue it, and why the training and the hours and the travel? What does it do for you?
I think of it like this. We grew up mid-90s, early 2000s. Big video game nerds, big comic book nerds, we grew up in that whole nostalgia of the late 90s, early 2000s. And it really helped shape who we were as human beings. I've seen, breaking kayfabe here, I've seen certain older influences go and work a 9-to-5 and be miserable. When we discovered wrestling, two of our biggest influences, aside from our personal influences, were the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys were a real brother unit, and not the biggest guys, not the most physically imposing guys, but they had like an alternative lifestyle. And I think that really shaped who we were as human beings. And when we had always known in the back of our mind that this is what we wanted to do. We're pursuing other things, like we're both college students. I have an associate's, whereas Justin is also pursuing a college degree. So we do have a backup plan, but as far as if we had the opportunity to make a living off of professional wrestling, you couldn't ask us twice.
It's awesome. That's what you got to do, man. It's like we both do comedy, and it's a similar thing. It's chasing, it's a small fish in a really big sea, but, you know, you do it because you love it.
Exactly, and that's the only reason that you really do it, because right now you don't make a living off of it. You don't have any financial stability based off of it, and you really don't. There's nothing is guaranteed or promised to anybody. You're actually kind of, you know, you're kind of blindfolding yourself, and you're shooting a dart, and you're hoping that the dart lands somewhere in the center.
Right.
Exactly.
All right, before we go.
All right, sir. What we would like you to do is we want you to pull a name out of that bag and cut a promo as if you were facing that person. And Scott's got to try to figure out
who's
facing tonight.
All right. I'm pretty good with this.
Well, put it this way.
Don't say the name.
You couldn't. Yeah, you put it this way. You're going to beat your brother.
I'm going to. I know I am. Did you look up the dirt sheets or something?
All right, here we go.
Yep. All right. Listen here, buddy. I've been favoring your competition for many years. There have been many Friday nights where me and my buddies hang out and play video games, and we order the closest and most physically satisfying hunger. And that right there is the thick crust double cheese. I can't even say it because I am craving it right now.
Am I a Domino's pizza guy?
You're close.
Okay.
You're
Little Caesar?
Nope.
No. Papa John.
There. Correct.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Papa John going down tonight.
All right, Spencer. Thank you so much for popping on.
Can I just share a quick story about Papa John real quick?
Absolutely.
It'll be real quick. When we were first starting out in wrestling, we traveled with a gentleman by the name of Mike 3D. Mike 3D is from a planet called outer space, and he would have a big cooler full of every food you could imagine. The problem was it was all 3 days old. He had three-day-old sushi next to week-old pasta, next to malt liquor. And right there, he had big, deep-dish Papa John's pizza.
Spencer, thank you for coming on
tonight.
Thank
you.
And we wish the both of you luck, and keep pursuing this, man.
Thank you.
Keep
pursuing your comedy, and I will definitely listen to this podcast more often.
All right.
Thank you, man.
All right, so we just had the Grayson brothers on.
Yeah, it's a shame we couldn't get them back together, man. They had to fight it out tonight. It's a shame.
Fight it out soon. I think they're the first match. So, But we're joined by kind of someone different, not a wrestler, but he is the ref. He's Mr. Andrew Cleaver. Welcome to Verbal Shenanigans here.
Hey, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Yes. So you are the referee. Are you reffing all the matches tonight?
No, I believe I have half the card with the exception of the last match that Earl Hebner has.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Earl.
Legendary.
Legendary.
Legendary Earl Hebner. I used to slide around on my carpet as a little kid, 4 or 5 years old, counting with him.
So where kids are dreaming of being wrestlers, you were dreaming of being a ref?
I was.
Really?
Yes.
Now, what is it about reffing that you find enjoyable?
It's just the ref has the final say. It's like, you know, no matter how big or small all the wrestlers are, the referee, ultimately, his word is it.
Now, what's entail when you get to an event like this with reffing? Like, how do you prep, or what is your job in the ring other than calling the match?
Other than calling the match, I make sure that nobody gets seriously injured. You know, I carry rubber gloves with me, and I've seen it happen plenty of times. Guys torque their knee or things like that, and it's my job to ensure their safety and make sure that nothing terribly serious goes drastically wrong. I also look after the ring, too. There's tons of times fans throw things in the ring the wrestler doesn't see. I've seen people tear their ankles on stuff thrown into the ring, so I'm trying to keep the ring clear of foreign objects, things like that.
We had Pete Nixon on a while ago. That's kind of how we're here. And he was talking about one time he went into the ropes and, like, the rope snapped or it wasn't set up or anything. He got, like, pretty seriously injured he avoided getting injured
because of his stunt work.
Yeah, because
he flipped back and he was able to land on his feet.
So does that come in with the ref too, making sure the ring is kind of...
Yeah, it does. I mean, I work, you know, I started with PWS here several months ago, and just in training noticed that the ring had a cable that was very frayed. And sure enough, I spotted it and somebody said, that's how I cut my arm up. And the guy's arm was torn to shreds. He didn't know how he did it.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was just a shredded cable from the ring rope. And it's my job to make sure that gets repaired and taped up because we don't want anybody with, you know, life-lasting scars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a funny thing. Like, I remember in, like, WWE Tough Enough, I had, like, some of the, oh, I want to run the ropes. So you want to run the ropes, you're going to find out. It's not as comic bookish, if you will, as you see on TV. You know, those things can hurt you.
Absolutely. All they are is elevator cable wrapped up. People, fans have the tendency to think they're rubber band elastic and that the ring is springy and bouncy and fun. And it's amazing. One of the most common injuries for new wrestlers is breaking ribs, running ropes.
Wow.
So now you, now the ref is obviously kind of part of the match, part of the, you know, the show. But so you also have a serious part of it too.
Absolutely.
Correct? So because it's funny, you see it on TV, you just think they're part of, you know, the show.
Yeah.
So, but I guess they really are in charge of medical stuff or signaling different things. And
oh, sure. You know, you have to know how to get help from the back when you really need it.
Okay. So when you, like, have to do, like, acting and stuff like that, is that one of the fun parts of reffing, too, like being involved in the match? Or
it is. It is fun for me. I've always enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed it. I try to keep it as real as possible. Right. I just referee. Just I call like I see it. I try to stop guys from cheating, and it's very, to me, my job is very real in the ring, in that when I'm telling guys to break a hold, they're not supposed to have that hold on. When I'm telling guys to get back in the ring before they get counted out, they better get back in the ring or they'll get counted out.
All right. So how often do you ref? Like, is this a full-time thing or is this like on a hobby? Or
no, it's a part-time thing. There's, you know, not all that many shows around that happen all the time. But the good thing about refereeing is that there's always work. I mean, I just literally got the call for this last night around 10 o'clock in the evening. And I said, sure. And I've seen plenty of locker rooms full of wrestlers who didn't get put on the card. And quite honestly, I've been put on cards, most recently refereeing the Rob Van Dam match.
Cool.
And it wasn't because I was the best, but it was because there were one or two refs and a locker room full of wrestlers who weren't used. So I find I get more work this way.
And have you been in matches where the wrestlers have taken a hand onto you or something like that, where they got physical with you?
I have been. I've been power bombed. I've been thrown over the top rope, things like that, sometimes not expectedly. And a lot of times disqualifications result, things like that.
So does that take some training, too, like being, you know,
sure,
part of the... Yeah.
The standard training that wrestlers take. I can take bumps. I can do all that stuff.
Cool. Interesting. So what's the worst, like, actual injury you've ever seen in the ring?
You know, believe it or not, when I've been in there, I haven't seen too many that were horrendous. I'd say the most common thing are concussions. I've seen a bunch of them. Guy dropping off the top rope with a leg drop. sits on the guy's face, basically end the match right there.
Right.
Guy gets checked out at the hospital, but nothing, you know, that's career ending or anything like that. Thank goodness.
Awesome. So we'd like to thank you just for popping on for a few minutes, and good luck tonight, and have a good time out there.
All right. Pleasure to be here, guys. Thanks.
All right, thank you, man. All right. So we just heard from a referee, okay, which I never knew refs were like actually seriously part of like the – I knew they like communicate with the wrestlers, but I never knew they were really like part of the medical side of it too,
yeah,
the emergency side.
They totally control the atmosphere, and they let the back know of any kind of injuries and everything like that. A lot of the bigger ones, they have an earpiece in there we've been talking to about how they want to like wrap it up and stuff. So
I wrangled up an interesting guest. Like, okay. We've been wrangling wrestlers and refs, but – you know, reason we're here is...
How long have you been wrestling, man?
I don't wrestle.
Oh, okay.
The reason we're here is because of Pete, and through our small world of this podcast, we saw him in a hot dog eating competition. Well, we saw someone in a hot dog eating competition, saw Pete's face on the wall, Facebooked Pete during the podcast, got him on, turned out he lived a block away from me, got him on the podcast, talked about acting and wrestling, and now we're here at the wrestling event. But we have Pete's stepmom on the podcast
here. That's right.
What is your name again?
You can call me Ro.
Ro. Okay.
Peter calls me Chuchi.
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 I'll call you Ro.
Okay.
So you are our Pete's stepmom, and you said you've been a stepmom for...
Since he's 2 years old.
Since he's 2 years old, since he was a baby Irish Pete
baby
Nixon.
Irish. Yeah,
little Pete Nixon.
Yeah.
So what is it like being someone who cares about, obviously, his safety and as a person and stuff like that? What is it like being a spectator of seeing him doing stunts and... you know, God knows what we're going to see tonight in wrestling.
Well,
how does that make you feel?
When I come to the matches, I'm very much involved. I'm a heckler.
I heard. You told me you're a heckler.
I'm a very big heckler. But I wish he would retire.
Why is that?
I worry about him all the time. He's a big guy.
I'm going to the bathroom.
And he falls hard.
Now, was he a big boy growing up, or did he
kind
of grow into
that?
No,
he became a big boy. Yeah, he wasn't always a big boy.
Okay. So when he's in the ring doing God knows what, jumping off things, slamming things, it amazes me. So is it a nervous? Do you get are you both excited for him and nervous?
Yes,
or is it
I
like
get,
constant
I
pins
go,
and needles?
Oh shit!
Yep.
And I said, oh no, how the fuck did he do that? get the hell up! Get the fuck up! I scream.
What's the craziest thing you've seen him do in the ring?
Jump off the top ropes.
That's a big man coming.
And,
from
and
the top
I feel sorry for the guy that he jumps on.
I did. Now,
well, what's that story he talked about? He slammed to his brother. Remember that? I remember something about how he talked about like he had his brother who was like 15 years old at the time.
Oh, yeah, DJ.
And he brought him to the ring, and since they know each other and all, he just like splashed him or something like that.
Peter can hurt you.
Now, was Pete like a guy who was like a kid who was just like very
no,
active
Peter,
and
I
always
mean,
into
he's
wrestling?
Kick my ass.
No, he can't do it.
Peter was wussy.
He was a wuss.
Mm.
Well, he is a really nice guy.
I know he is.
He's like his biggest sweetheart
he's
ever.
He's a good kid. To me, he's a good kid. Yep. He's got manners, but he can be a fuck.
Now, have you seen Pete wrestle with like weapons and
chairs,
get hit by stuff?
Garbage cans.
Now, is that more scary than him like
yes,
in the
room? And then I'm worried about when I see him has bruises on his head and he starts bleeding and shit like that. I say you need to retire.
Now, do you support his like acting and
yes,
stunt work more
so.
Or?
I prefer him acting.
Yeah, less room
I've
for
seen
disaster.
Him on TV, it's very exciting to see him.
Yes,
I get very excited. But. I always worry. Always worry. All his physical things, I worry.
Now, you have a big Irish Pete Nixon shirt, and
yes,
it says Bayonne. You guys are originally from Bayonne, right?
I still live in Bayonne.
Oh, my whole family's from Bayonne. In fact, next week we have Captain Bayonne coming on.
Oh, he's on the streets 24/7.
We have him coming
today
on
today he
show.
Was in camouflage.
Ooh.
Getting ready.
Don't see him coming.
But so I guess... So you come out, so you live in New Jersey, so when Pete wrestled, now Pete hasn't wrestled in a while,
he hasn't
correct?
Wrestled since he got married.
Okay.
Got married last year, and this is his first comeback.
So do you have like a bunch of family coming out, or is it just?
I think it's just me and his dad, and he's got buddies here.
So we should hear you pretty loud.
Oh,
tonight.
You'll hear me. Everybody hears me when I'm mm-hmm. come to these.
You should hear her. Pete Nixon is a great wrestler. Yeah. I don't know why you had a problem with him earlier today.
Don't fucking go there.
I don't know. Just not a big fan. Not a big
this
fan.
This lovely woman came on our podcast, and you've been trashing him.
I mean, like I said, he came to my house. He wrecked my house.
He'll kick your ass.
He
too.
Emptied my fridge, and he took my dog. But
stop making lies.
But anyway, Ro, thank you for popping
Thanks,
on for
it was
a few
great
minutes.
Guy to meet you guys.
And enjoy the show tonight. We're
you
ready
hear
for
me.
It. All right. All right, Berlu, we're back, and we just had Pete Nixon's stepmom. And
lovely lady.
No, you know, she was a nice lady, but, you know, it's just amazing that Pete Nixon, like, that she stuck with him that long.
He's a great guy, and you know? I'm sure you're excited by our next guest right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the champion. I'm going to call him the champ now, because he's going to take down Pete Nixon and embarrass him in Parsippany, ship him back to Bayonne.
I don't know why you have so much hate and all. Just
let's
like
welcome the champ, Papa Stro. Please welcome him to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast, Mike. That is a champion.
This man's evil.
I like him.
Tonight's tonight.
What do you got up your sleeve, Papa Stro? What are you going to do to this nice man, Pete Nixon?
Pete Nixon. Reminds me of Dorothy's favorite tale, King Kong. King Kong was once a champion in his island, but when he crossed over and he saw the bullets fly, and he climbed high and high and high on top of the building, on top of the mountain, and he got shut down. Tonight, Pete Nixon climbs the mountain, climbs the tower like King Kong. And Papa's waiting at the top of the tower. And when Pete Nixon reaches up and grabs the trophy, grabs the prize, and tries to be King Kong once again, Papa will bring some reality, and will take his branding iron and knock him off the mountain.
I couldn't agree
and
more.
And watch him fall and fall and fall until there's a pit, a crater, into the ground of Persephone, New Jersey. Just like everyone will witness tonight. It acts like everyone will fall in that same crater, in that same pitfall that Pete Nixon will fall in. And Papa will stand in front of his children and his family and look down on King Kong and says, Papa always liked Godzilla better.
See, he pretty much said exactly what I said about Pete.
Yeah, he had a couple words.
A couple things, but you know, I agree. There's going to be a big crater in the ring. Pete Nixon, you know, lying there, motionless, lifeless, and championship-less.
I mean, making this guy happy.
You know, like, I want to be part of the Papa's family.
This isn't Pete Nixon's world. This isn't Planet Apes. This isn't Gorilla Squad. This isn't the Grape Ape. This is Papa's world. This is Papa's domain. Papa is the champion. Papa is on top of the world.
Now, Papa Stro, now you have a long history in wrestling. You were in WCW for quite a while. Your third cousin is the great Gorgeous George.
He is Papa's grand uncle, one of the greatest of all time.
And that's amazing. Is it just run in the family? Is it just instinct to get into wrestling? Or did the great uncle have to pull you in, if you will?
Grand uncle was an innovator just like Papa. He was unpredictable just like Papa. He was conniving just like Papa. He'll do anything and everything to get his point across. just like Papa, just like tonight. When UPWA will fall at Papa's feet once again.
Now, Papa, you are the champ, correct?
Of course.
Now, how long have you held the belt?
Papa's held many treasures through the years. Many treasures, many things that people kept sacred. And tonight, Pete Nixon will try to take what's sacred to Papa. What he once had. But Papa don't believe in fairy tales and the dark reality. He's just like a seal, his face melting in the coals of the grill that Papa will put him in tonight. Do you understand?
I think
Do
I get
you
it.
Understand, New Jersey? Pete Nixon will fall and fall at Papa's feet. And you all, every single one of you carcasses, will come to Papa.
Wow.
Huh.
See, I couldn't agree more with Papa. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, he just walked off the set, man.
There he goes. Berlo, I think you were intimidating there.
He's a very intimidating man, but I still have belief that the Irish soul of Pete Nixon...
Did you see that man? Did you see that man? Pete Nixon has no damn chance in the world.
Let me tell you.
That guy is a maniac.
He is a maniac. And that's going to be the difference. Pete Nixon has a brain in his... In his head.
Yeah, if that's what you call it. If that's what you call it.
He's going to be intelligent. He's going to be conniving. He's going to wait for that maniac to try to do something, and he's going to stomp on
him. Did you hear him like King Kong falling from a building or something along those lines?
King Kong did beat Godzilla in the American movies.
But that's the American movies.
We're in U.S. soil,
Papa,
baby.
Papa, I am part of Papa's family, because honestly, I don't want to know what it's like to be not part of Papa's family.
I'm a little concerned about that family.
Yeah, it sounds like a good family. Good family tree, strong roots, and the roots of a champion.
Well, not for long. Pete is going to bring it back. He's going to bring it back to the Irish hills, okay?
The Irish hills.
Yes.
Yes. He's going to be shipped back to the Irish hills,
roaming
with sheep, and having be cared for by some little Irish woman in a little Irish cottage to be brought back to health.
I believe in him, man.
I hope he can act again.
I believe he's going to take down that madman tonight.
That is a man who is inspired, who is focused, and who is a champ.
You call that focused?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like you on the podcast. No idea what he's talking about.
No. I always know what I'm talking about, and I know tonight Pete Nixon will not let down the good people of Parsippany.
We'll see. Go, Papa. All right, well, we made it alive through the Stro interview. I didn't know if our equipment was going to be tipped over.
Like I said, I talked to Pete Nixon during the break and all. He assured us everything's going to be okay for tonight.
Yeah, well, he's got, like, what, 2 hours left? 2 hours to
Till the championship? Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I am very honored to... we have a legend on the podcast.
Hall of Famer.
A legend. We have Earl Heppner on the podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead,
Mike. Now, Earl, you've been in the business for so damn long. And your entire family's pretty much in the refereeing business. What is it about being a referee in these events that, like, just, like, drags you into it, like, the whole family?
Well, it's something that I loved and really wanted to do all my life. And I got lucky breaks being a twin. And my brother and I, we had a little program going, and then my son, he came and joined us, and I got a grandson that I think will be eventually in the business too.
Now, when you your twin brother, I remember as a kid, like the big event, Saturday night's main event, when you guys did the whole twin brother referee thing with Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. Like, was that your first time, like, actually, like, being a part of the gimmick, if you will?
Yeah, that was the first time that... Actually, that was my first show at WWF back then. And, of course, they were supposed to catch me, and they missed me, and I spun in my rotor cup when I hit the floor. So I was out 8 weeks going through rehab and getting that fixed. So.
Oh, wow.
So now, you've been around pretty much everyone in the business and whatnot, and you still obviously love it. You still do it. What is it now that keeps you going doing the events? Is it just a ingrained love, or is it just you don't know anything else, or what keeps you going?
It keeps me going because I love what I do, and I've been around for a long time, and we have new guys coming in, and I just like helping younger talent to get better and understand the business, for one thing. And the second thing is really, I guess I'm married to this business. Yeah. I don't ever want to leave. Whenever I leave, it'll be when I can't walk to the ring.
Now, you've been on such big stages with WWE, now TNA Impact Wrestling. What can you tell us is something that people don't understand about the job of the referee when you do, like, these big main events?
Well, there's more than just 1, 2, 3, believe me. You know, like live shows, you got to be able to give them the finish of the match. If you don't, pay-per-view or anything it may be, then they have to give all the money back. In live shows, if it goes off, they don't see the finish, you know, and it's embarrassing. So, but there's a lot to it. I mean, my job is really not just 1, 2, 3. And I told my son the same thing, and he's, in my book, he's an excellent referee. He's the next king.
That's awesome. We just had a ref on, one of the other refs on to talk, and, like, I didn't really know how much the ref was actually involved in, like, the medical and safety side of it, too, rather than just the show part of it. So is that, like, a fine line you run? Like,
well, you know, I when I see a bad bump, and I know it is, I'll come up with something to end the match, and you can usually tell. But when you go to ask those guys, they'll say, I'm all right. But sometimes their eyes are cross-eyed, or they don't know where they're at. And then you don't want to keep the match going because it just creates more injury to everybody, you know?
Yeah.
What's the best professional and the worst professional you had to work with in this industry?
Well, when Stone Cold broke his neck with Owen Hart, I was there.
Oh, wow.
When Triple H pedigreed Kurt Angle through the table, I was there. And a couple of them I've seen that break their arms and their bones are sticking out, but they're all right. But I know they're not all right. So, you know, it's just like the UFC. You got to know when somebody is injured, because it only makes it worse if you keep going.
So now, you're in the business now. I'm sure you travel all over, not only the United States, all over the world with this. Is it hard to, like, maintain, like, a home life when you're there, or do you get, like, certain time off? Like, how does that work?
You go when they're ready. You don't pick your time. They pick it for you. And that's the way this business is. I mean, a lot of guys have, you know, seen all their kids grow up without daddy being there.
Right.
And it's tough, but when you want your family to have what they want, you have to do what you have to do.
Now, when they add you to, like, gimmicks, do you just, like, calling the match, or do you like when they're like, all right, somebody's going to grab you and throw you across this ring and that kind of stuff? Do you prefer just doing the referee stuff, or you like being added to the gimmick?
Being in it. I like being involved. I always have. If you look back and look at my track record, hell, I've probably been beat up more than some of them have, but and broken bones and this, that, and the other, but that's what you love, and that's what you want to do.
Now, real quick, so you work with all these wrestlers and promoters and everything. Does it become like a tight-knit family, like as far as you guys communicate with each other long after guys retire and go to different federations, or does it kind of just, like, disperse as they go along?
No. Like today, we had this big autograph session in Philly, I think.
Yep.
Okay.
And there's a lot of old-timers there like myself, and I went around and met every one of them and hugged them. This is our second family, you know, but this is a different family from a real family, you know. This is a
brotherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we keep all our information to ourselves.
Right.
Do you still get heat in Canada for the whole screw job thing?
I don't even go back there anymore. believe me, I had a promoter call me or call Bill Burns and ask me to come over there, but you know, and this is probably 14 or 15 years old.
I think it's 18. I looked
it
up before.
Okay. It's been a long time, but yeah. No, I don't want to go back over there.
And I read you and Brett like talked it out.
Oh, I met Brett today. I talked to him for a while at the autograph session that they were at today. I talked to Sean, and yeah, Brett and I made up about maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay.
We were at a show together, and we sat down and we talked to each other. We ironed everything out, and it was a business deal, and you know, it was gonna happen regardless of whether I was there or wasn't there.
Exactly.
And now we understand each other. And Brett's a great guy. I've loved Brett all my life. He's a real great guy. He's a talented guy. And now I feel relieved that we have settled this thing over the years, as long as it's been dragging on.
That is awesome.
So we don't want to take up all your time. I just want to thank you for popping on for a few minutes. And we're looking forward to watching you do your thing in the ring tonight.
Okay. And thank you for inviting me. And I enjoyed talking to you guys.
Thanks so much, Earl. All right. So we just got done with the legend himself.
Earl Hebner.
I mean, we did not expect that today.
Very cool.
But yeah, you know, nice to talk to someone who's been around for God knows how long, you know, since probably the beginning of wrestling.
87, I think. Jeez. That Saturday night's main event was.
I'm
just saying, I'm guessing around that time.
But we are joined by two other guests here. We're joined by Mike Orlando and Anna Teresa. Was I correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, awesome. I'm get pretty bad with names, but so. Mike Orlando, you are in the main event tonight, huh?
Usually always in the main event.
Always the main event.
That's usually how it goes nowadays.
That's what I try to tell myself.
Absolutely.
That's always
what you got to tell yourself, man. You got to believe everything you do.
You're the dark match of comedy there, Scotty.
Well, that's
there
right.
It is.
So you are in the main event, and we are live here. And what are we, about 15 minutes before bell time?
So.
Something like that?
I believe so.
So who are you taking on tonight?
I believe it's supposed to be Bobby Lashley. That is my opponent tonight. It is now, you said, 7:15?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My friend Bobby must be still aching from his UFC fight last week, because he is still not here.
Oh.
Okay. At 7:15, still waiting on him, which isn't an issue, because I got a guy that I believe, personally, that doesn't go in UFC rings or MMA, and sticks to a wrestling ring, Chris Masters in the back, that wants to take me on for my title.
Oh, nice.
And anybody at this point would be better than Bobby Lashley. That's how I feel. You stick to what you're supposed to do. And it's 7:15 and we're waiting on him.
Gotcha.
That bothers me a little, man.
I hear you.
100%. So if I don't see him, I'm sure I will again.
Michael Berla will take you on gladly.
Yeah. Oh,
and I'll broadcast it.
Okay.
And video it.
I'm more of a lover than
I'd like
a
to see
fighter.
That, I think. Let's set that up.
You know,
she wants to see you get hurt.
So do I. So do I.
Now, for what I read up, you're from New Jersey,
correct,
right?
Yep.
You graduated from Keene?
Yeah, I went to Keene University in Elizabeth, New Jersey. I graduated in May.
Okay.
Finished up my college career there. Played football in college for them as well. Was captain of my team. We were the NJAC 2011 champions. 2013, we had a runner-up as well. We were very dominant, and that's kind of where my whole attitude and persona came from. Learned how to win there and graduate from there, and take it on with me into the ring.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So how does one go from football, or I don't know, were you wrestling during that?
Yep, okay. I was doing both. I've been wrestling since 2011. I had an NFL tryout last year with the Raiders. Kind of looked at it and was just like, this isn't for me. I went down there. I knew that when I go out there and I wrestle someone like Tito Santana, it's like, wow, I love Tito Santana. This is my dream. This is what I wanted to do. Then I have Carson Palmer, because it's 2013, 14, behind me in a practice schedule,
right.
and I'm in front of him, and it wasn't the same feeling. It wasn't, that's Tito Santana with me. It's whatever, here, get the ball, man. I'm blocking for you, taking a beat, and getting killed by these guys.
Right.
Had no intention of wanting to get better. And, so, yes, go ahead. Actually.
No, I was going to say, did you grow up a wrestling fan or fanatic? Or
yeah,
so it was always in the back of your mind?
I don't watch football. I don't know anything about the NFL. I know nothing about college football. I only played football to look like a wrestler. So that was the whole goal the entire time. It was just so to get athletic as well. I mean, my build, if you look at my family, we're fat. We're a bunch of fat guys. That's how it is. Me? No way. I can't do that.
Right.
I got to be outside of that. I can't be what we will call indie workers, because that's what we all are, essentially. I can't be your generic indie worker. I can't be the guy that's not in the gym and not doing what I want to do, because my goals are to leave these four walls. And once I can leave those four walls and become something bigger, that's where the football comes from. So the football is, there's never, Ray Lewis walked off the field and finally retired and said he was good. once he retired, he said he was good. Because up until that point, he couldn't get any better. Every single day, he was working to get better. When he didn't have that field anymore, it was done. So my goal is to leave here and get better, work for the big time.
So what is it that drives you? Is it a combination of being physically fit, getting the crowd, the joy? Or is it something that... You know, that you're constantly working at? Like, what is it that is driving you to keep doing this?
I just finished up totally doing anything with other than wrestling. I'm a football coach for Colts Neck High School. I'm also a substitute teacher. And kind of did that right after college, and I learned from it. Because I cannot put water on a million different seeds and expect everything to grow. So I'm kind of narrowing it down, and I finished my last game today, which we won. And now I'm... literally just devoting everything toward wrestling. I work out 7 days a week. I train 5 days a week and then wrestle on weekends, which is still training, I guess. And, this is it for me. This is what I do all the time, every single day. And it's a mindset. My car has green tires, green inside, vinyl. Everything is neon green. My outfit's neon green. I live exactly who I say I am.
See, I was hoping you were actually going to walk to the ring with a bunch of green tires. Oh. That would just be looking at him. This is an interesting gimmick here.
It's the athlete.
See, I was hoping you were going to walk to the ring in those sweet pants I saw you in earlier.
The Zubas. Zuba pants, man. I
haven't seen those in years, a long time.
Start something up again. Start wearing them.
I guarantee it could hit up.
Let's do it.
Mike Orlando's bringing it back.
Absolutely. I got to give it to Rude Boy Riley, man. That's his thing. I stole it from him. You guys know who Rude Boy Riley is. I totally stole that from him. And but that's my confession. If nobody hears that, then that was my idea, and I brought it to life. So
they're going to be called Orlando soon.
Yeah, that's it.
But we're focusing mainly on you. But there's a lovely lady to the left of you. Okay,
absolutely.
And why don't you tell us about who you are? What are you doing here?
First and foremost, as Ms. New York America.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I competed for the national title of Ms. America in August.
Okay.
Placed as a finalist, so go New York.
There you go.
And I got into wrestling a little under a year ago, and I've been training, and I really want to pick it up. And
so you've got into not just like being around wrestling, actually in the ring.
Absolutely.
Too.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And so are you and Mike do you come out with her, or like how does that work?
Are you
wearing green?
As of right now, I am managing him, yes.
Okay.
But I've had one match so far, and it went well, but I really want to tune up a little bit before I get back in there. So, yeah.
Like, what kind of undertaking it goes into, like, doing your first match and getting prepared for this kind of stuff?
I mean, I feel like I could never be as prepared as I want to be, you know? Like, I want to go in there and I just want to kick ass. But it's just training. You have to be in it, you have to have the right mindset, and you have to be determined and motivated. And
right.
If you have that, you could do it. So
now, are you going to continue with the pageantry too?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Pageantry
it's very
slash
much
wrestler.
Like
I
wrestling.
Love
it's very, they're, you know...
Is that like your gimmick?
It is. I'm the beauty queen, yes.
She's much nicer than Miss Vermont. I'm just pointing that out.
Well, thank you.
She's probably a lot better looking, too.
Well, we have a background story where we almost had her on the show, and she kind of
snubbed us and told me we had to go through a PR people and that she only calls certain hours of the day.
Well, I have to say, it is tricky. It is tricky.
That's what it sounds like.
You have to, you know, we all have to be careful no matter what you're doing, wrestling, pageantry, whatever. You should be careful about what you say.
Now, wrestling in itself, it's like comedy or radio or podcast, is, you know, it's a small fish in a big pond mentality. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talent, a lot of competition, a lot of luck, a lot of connections.
Yep.
Now, as a female wrestler, it's almost, is it more difficult to break in, or is, because, you know, it's still a sport dominated by men.
Okay, the thing with that is I don't want to be another female wrestler that gets by on looks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen it and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be another girl added to that list. So that's why I said if I'm going to be in the ring, I want to be in the ring.
Right.
Competing, wrestling, being athletic. I don't want to just sit there and flip my hair and look good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely been a change. I mean,
Absolutely, right.
I mean, the Attitude Era was just pretty much brawn, padding matches, mud, wrestling in mud matches. Now we're getting like real athletic.
But there are still those people who I say, oh, yes, you know, I do train for wrestling. They're like, oh, okay. I'm like, no.
I was going to say, like,
it's different.
Like your family or your parents or not, when you tell them you're going to be a professional wrestler,
whole family. They are huge wrestling fans. I grew up a fan watching WWF, WWE. So, I mean, they love wrestling, not as much as the idea of me wrestling because they don't want me to get hurt. And they've seen it happen. So, you know, my mom especially is very much like, you need to watch out, protect your face if you're going to do pageants. And but, you know, it comes with the territory, so.
I think that'd be badass, though. She walks into a pageant in, like, a nice evening gown. She's got, like, a black eye sporting.
And then powerbombs the shit out of Miss Ohio.
Yes. Absolutely.
You better protect that face if you plan on sitting next to me, though.
The face is good. No worries.
I'm saying.
Now the both of you, if people wanted to check either one of you out, like a social media or learn more about you, is there anywhere they can go?
Absolutely. You go first, man.
Sure. I'm on Twitter.
Okay.
It's the number one, Anna Teresa.
Okay.
Okay. And it's the same for Instagram, and my Facebook is Anna Teresa, one word.
Okay.
Last name Tripedi. But if they type in Anna Teresa, I'll pop up. I also have a fan page, so if they type in Ms. New York America 2015, I'll pop up.
Awesome.
Right. Yeah.
How about you, Mr. Orlando?
I've got www.therealeliteathlete.com. I've got at the Big Orlando on Twitter and Instagram. I have on Facebook, facebook.com/EliteOrlando. That's my like page. If you message me anything like that on Facebook, Twitter, whatever have you, I will absolutely answer it. I really like to keep in contact with all my fans. I think that's about it. I hit everything on the head there with all the media.
So, Mike, real quick before we go, what can we expect from you tonight in the ring?
The greatest. That's just 100%. You're going to see the future.
Can't beat
that. You're going to see... whether it's Lashley, if he decides to show up 5 minutes prior, I've been ready for 5 weeks, so 5 minutes ain't going to do nothing for him. And if it's Masters, I've only been ready for 5 minutes, and that doesn't make a difference. So either way, I can guarantee the performance that you get will keep you in your seat the entire time.
Okay, so since we're not really 100% sure who you're going to face tonight, we've been playing this game. If you could pick a name from this bag and pretend you're gonna cut a promo facing that person, and Scott has to figure out who you're facing.
Dunzo. Let's do it.
Dunzo.
All right. Here we go.
Without saying the name. I'm cutting it, though. Mike Orlando, right?
Gotcha. Mike Orlando's facing that character. I got to guess who it is.
This is awesome.
All right.
All right. So I walked into this house, and as I was walking to this house, this is creepy, disgusting little like nothing that I've even talked to in my life just staring at me. And I don't know if it's just because it's my aunt's house. I went to my aunt's, man. My aunt is this lady, and she's got creepy stuff outside. She's got license plates on tires hanging from the trees and all this weird decorations. And as you're walking up, there's these little statues of these disgusting, stupid little...
Am I a lawn gnome?
Oh, my God.
You are a garden gnome.
100%
wow.
What it is. That is touche.
That was
awesome.
Great.
I liked it. That was great.
All right. Well, we wish the both of you luck
not only tonight,
but with the rest of your careers and whatnot. And we hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. This was great, guys.
Take care. All right. We are at intermission, Mike Barlow.
It's been a hell of an event so far, Scotty.
Been some interesting events. My favorite so far was the Team España. there were two Spanish guys with long hair that came out in red Spain uniforms, and they came out and worshipped the soccer ball, did a bunch of warm-ups on the sideline. But, yeah, so far, so good.
Yeah, they're definitely doing a hell of an event here. A lot of high-flying events. We just saw TNA superstar Robbie E in action. So they definitely got some names out here tonight.
Yes.
And it's been fun so far.
We saw the White Egyptian.
Yeah, well, that's my... I hope he makes it.
Yeah. I think wrestling is one place where stereotypes will forever be around.
Yeah.
You get... Yeah. The Spanish guys, you get the black guys, you get the Irish guys, you know, and they just perpetuate the stereotype and make it as most ridiculous as possible.
Mm-hmm. And then whatever entertains a crowd, and I guess it's racism.
Good old joke never failed.
No.
There's an old man here who is just loving this wrestling. Loving it.
The crowd's been good tonight. They've been into these matches so far.
Yeah, I don't know how many matches there are, and I hope Bobby Lashley showed up.
Yeah.
Should be getting ready for our main event, Pete Nixon and the Stro, Papa Stro.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a match. I totally see the good guys winning once again. My man, Pete Nixon.
I wouldn't be surprised if Pete doesn't even come out to the ring. Yeah, he's weak. He's weak. He's weak-minded. He's very unprofessional, and he's just a mean person.
All he does is win, and that's what's going to happen tonight.
No, he doesn't.
After a year and a half out of the ring, supporting his family, getting married, being a hot dog eating champion, he's going to take down Papa Stro and hold that UPWA championship high.
No. You know, what's going to be really interesting is when his mom and dad, who are here, disown him after tonight and pick up Papa Stro as their new child.
Oh, you are
the
just
Stro
outrage.
Family. The
You're
Stro
just outrageous.
Family. Yep.
He's such a hard worker, and I have to hear from this man. I cannot wait till he shows you some amazing wrestling skills in that ring tonight.
Papa Stro is going to win probably within a minute and a half of the bell.
Don't be ridiculous.
Pete Nixon's weak. Pete Nixon's going down, and he's doing a disservice to all Irish people.
Just like Papa Stro, you're just all talk.
Nope. We'll see.
If you can hear me, this crowd is going nuts. Scotty, I can barely hear myself think. This crowd is going berserk. For big Irish Pete Nixon coming back to the ring tonight.
What is wrong with these people? What is wrong with these people? Look at this man. Look at this man. Who is he intimidating anybody?
He's a great athlete.
Look at him.
And he wanted to come back to capture that title. He wants to take it from the hands of that despicable Papa Stro.
He looks like a giant pea. Like a big pea.
He is a very large man, but he's full of spirit, Scotty. And that's the key.
Yeah, he's full of something, all right.
He looks pumped. He's getting the crowd into it. Listen to this place. I have not heard this place erupt like this before.
Yeah, well, you know, he probably served everyone a bunch of whiskey.
Stop it.
Spiked the punch.
From Skull Mountain, weighing 250
Now, here's a man.
Pounds.
Here's a man right here. Oh, yeah. A man that strikes fear in the hearts of everyone here.
I will admit,
Papa Stro.
He is a hell of an athlete. He has a hell of a history in wrestling. But he's just so despicable and vile. I'm hoping tonight.
Listen, the experience, the anger, the mystique. His manager, I bet you his manager could take on Nixon.
Oh, stop it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh!
Wow.
I can't believe he's taking out the ring.
Wow.
He's taking out the announcer right before the match.
That is great.
This is despicable.
You know what? That announcer had it coming.
Well, now he's grabbing a mic.
Yes.
And I mean absolutely nobody, especially up north, introduces the hip. Excuse you, lady.
Ooh. Why are you going after the crowd? This person just wants to have a good time, and this guy's attacking her.
This is what happens when people don't follow the rules, and they get out of their seats. They got to be put in their place.
Oh, please.
Professional wrestling, Moses Mann.
What is the purpose of this?
Look at the fear in Pete Nixon's face.
He is not in fear. He is getting prepped for this big match.
Yeah.
You can cut the tension with a knife right here.
Yeah.
We come up here from North Carolina.
North Carolina. Tougher people down there.
Please, man. You come from New Jersey.
It's wrestling down there, man. Wrestling.
Yesterday, they prayed for Paris. Today, they're going to be praying for you.
Yep. Look at Pete Nixon shaking.
There's a mist coming from the back.
Absolutely shaking.
What
you
is
know
what this?
That mist is probably Pete's tears. That's probably what it is.
Here
Pete Dixon is a great wrestler, and you're going to see it soon.
I don't think so. He's stomping that announcer out.
On notice. Down for 5 minutes, the number one contender, the Hyena. But let's be clear. What the heck? What are you looking at?
Will you just get to the match? These people come here for some wrestling action.
Yeah, well, they're not going to get it watching Pete. How dare you chant boring at a man who can speak so eloquently?
They want wrestling action. They want to see these two combatants get together.
Listen, a guy like Papa, here at the champ is here.
My children.
Oh, yeah, see his children.
Papa's home.
What kind of filth is he trying to fill this arena with?
Papa's home, baby. Papa is home, and he is ready to take down whatever his name is.
It's Big Irish Pete Nixon, and you know it.
Nah, whatever. Papa I don't even Stroh. Like to say it.
Papa Stroh is coming to the ring right now. There's a miss coming from the back. He's playing, trying to play mind games with Pete Nixon. I don't understand it. The maestro, the Stroh, Papa Stroh, he's been a veteran in wrestling for years on end. He comes from a wrestling family. There's no need to do this.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. It's called being intimidating, being an experienced veteran, someone who's simply going to take down this big green mess in front of him.
Papa Stroh strolling to the ring right now. Just an aura of evil happening. The kids are running up to him. I'm almost scared for these children to be deluded by these guys' words.
You're full of it. You're full of it. Look at him. Look at him. Who would want to fight that guy?
He is a monster. I will give him that. A very intimidating individual, Papa Stroh.
Look at him. I don't even know what he has in his hand, but it's probably...
That's his doll, Lucy.
Lucy?
Lucy, who speaks to him.
Oh, see?
Walking down the arena, intimidating the fans here in Parsippany. Just an amazing vibe here. This is world title at its best.
Yeah, it's not going to be much of a match, I'll tell you that much.
How can you look at a huge man like Peter Nixon and think he doesn't have a shot tonight?
He's weak. He's weak. Look at Papa strutting his stuff. Champ right
there. Manager getting in people's faces.
He's a champ.
And just totally uncalled for.
It's a Stroh family. Stroh family.
This is the... They are known as the Mason family.
Yeah, see? Masons.
Pete Nixon walking down the ring, looking at his opponent here tonight. Say what you have to say. There is a championship match here, people.
Setting up Lucy. Let's see. Papa Stroh getting into the ring slowly.
Look at
surely.
We have a little child crying right now. Look what he did.
Good. It's at the sight of Pete in those green tights. That's why.
Oh, stop it. Pete Nixon has worked hard to get back into the ring
for
this
match. That guy
wouldn't
know a day of hard work if he was struck in the face with it. Like he's going to be struck in the face by Papa's fists.
Papa Stroh slowly getting into the ring right now, playing more mind games with Pete Nixon.
Yeah, like that's hard. Pretty easy to put mind games on this guy.
Look at Pete Nixon. He's waving him in. He wants to get this match going.
Because he wants to get it over with.
Pete Nixon staring at his opponent, seeing that UPWA title within arm's grasp. This is going to be an amazing fight tonight.
Yeah. Papa Stroh, focused, the champion. Hey, look at him, he's sitting in the ring because he ain't worried about anything.
He's maniacal. He's laughing.
Yeah. There's a man who's going to defeat the big green goblin or whatever you guys call him here.
Bunch of fans here for Pete Nixon. local New Jersey man, hoping to get that title back under his waist.
Yeah, I see Pete's stepmom yelling, probably, "Take it easy on him, Papa. Take it easy on him."
Stop it. Papa Stroh, a very large man, but as amazing as it sounds, he's not as huge as Big Irish Pete Nixon.
Yeah, well, who is?
Well, that's an advantage for him.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Look at it. People chanting for Pete Nixon right now.
Yeah, they're all drunk, just like all the Irish are.
Would you mind? Just call the match.
That's your job, slobber knocker over there.
Referee showing off that beautiful belt. One man's going to walk out with it tonight.
Yeah. I only see one man in the ring. That's the problem. Look at the kids scrambling for that T-shirt.
Papa Stroh continuing to play mind games.
So,
we're just waiting for the bell.
Yeah, watch.
And we're underway right now.
Yeah, well, Pete's going to crap his pants probably in about a minute.
Two men looking at each other over. Circling the ring.
God, you can see the fear in Pete's eyes.
Speak to me, my children.
Yes, Papa, we're here. We're here.
Still more mind games. Why can't they just get it over with? Get the battle going. No need for this. Both are accomplished wrestlers.
When you're part of the family, you want Papa to speak to you. That's what it comes down to. Right. See, look.
Again, more mind games.
He's cheating. It's because he's got to check Pete out. He's got something under that tape of his.
The referee's trying to stop Pete from going after him right now.
Yeah. More like he's trying to save Pete from the end of his life.
Haven't had any action so far, and we're already getting a count right now, people. What is wrong with Papa Stroh?
Nothing. Nothing at all. He's just playing mind games, getting in the head of a lesser opponent.
Papa Stroh crawling towards Pete Nixon. It looks like we're going to get a lockup right here.
And here we go. Going to lock it up.
Pete Nixon pushing Papa Stroh into the corner. They're going back and forth, back and forth. Back in the corner. Referee breaking him up.
God, can Pete pick an uglier outfit? That's for sure. God.
Papa Stroh calling for a fight. He might not say those words to Big Irish Pete Nixon.
Oh, you mean the guy who looks like a St. Paddy's Day float?
He's proud of his heritage.
Yeah, yeah.
He's proud of his Irish heritage. He's proud to be from New Jersey, and he's trying to bring the title back to New Jersey.
Yeah, the only thing he's going to be proud of is that he has health insurance after this. It's going to cover his medical bills big time.
Pete pushing Stroh back into the corner. Clean break.
All right, let's see what we got here.
Wrestlers are still trying to figure each other out. And Papa Stroh puts a kick right into Pete Nixon's gut.
Thunderous kick. Look at him. He's already hurting. He's pretty much out of this match already. This Stroh is just more experienced. He's a better wrestler.
Papa Stroh's got a wrist lock on Big Irish Pete Nixon. Taunting him.
Nope.
Why would you want to taunt? Oh, and Pete Nixon reverses it. He has control.
God, what is
got to the ropes and broke the lock.
You see how long Pete holds onto that? Well, he's clearly on the ropes. He's got to break that hold. It's just
he has a 5 count.
Typical Irish cheater.
Oh, and then he pokes him in the eye. Any advantage the Papa Stroh can get on Pete Nixon?
It's called strategy, Mike.
And Big Orange Pete Nixon knocks Papa Stroll out. What's this? Papa Stroll's manager off the top.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Pete Nixon caught him.
No.
Oh.
No.
Once he goes, slam.
He goes.
That'll teach him for getting in the ring.
Oh, that's ridiculous. He was just trying to help Stroll out.
This is a one-on-one matchup, people.
He was just trying to help Stroll out, see if he was okay from an aerial view, because he can't see anything.
Throws him to the corner.
Pete in the way.
Throws him to the other corner. Oh, you got a bear hug on the papa. Big Irish is trying to slow him down. Trying to get all that air out of his ribs.
Oh, yeah.
And another rake to the eye.
Stroh is calm, confident. Oh, boy.
Oh, no, he's not. When you slam like that. This crowd is loving it here in Parsippany.
Come on, Papa.
Big Irish is on top of him, got an arm lock on him, trying to weaken him.
You can't weaken him. The strength of his family will bring him together. Oh, kick nice leg kick.
Woo. Kick to the calf.
Oh, yeah, chop him down.
Papa Stroll taking down the big man, trying to get some advantage over him, trying to get him off his feet. Multiple elbows to the head.
There we go. Down on the ground. Stroll shows control like he always does.
Papa Stroll grabbing Pete Nixon's leg, and he's bringing him over to the corner. What is he doing? What?
The belt's in there.
He's throwing the belt. What is he trying to do? Oh, no. He's bringing his leg over to the post.
Oh, no. He's going to shatter that thing in half. I don't think he... Uh-oh.
Irish Pete Nixon.
Yes.
Papa Stroll rams his leg. Or Pete Nixon's leg into the post.
Look at Pete Nixon. Just can't handle the attack of Papa Stroll.
He's still fighting, though. He's trying to get up right now. What a fight here so far, folks.
What is he doing? Moved.
Papa Stroll has removed the protective mat from the outside right now. What is he planning on doing? And again, he's going after that leg of Big Irish Pete Nixon.
Going to work that leg. Oh, yes. Right to the hamstring.
Stroll with a kick right to the leg. Now an elbow to the head.
Nixon's got no shot without those legs keeping that big body up. He's pretty much got no chance. Let's put it that way.
He has been out of the ring for a little bit. I'm starting to wonder if he's still got some ring rust. Another kick to the gut. Maestro working over Pete Nixon.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. Just slap him down.
Trying to whip him to go. Reversal. And a big splash.
Oh, my.
Pete Nixon getting a second wind. Throws Papa Stroll into the corner. He's getting this crowd into it. What is he going for? Oh! He tried for another splash, and he got an elbow to the face.
Oh, yeah.
Drop kick to the legs. Papa Stroll's got Big Irish down right now.
I got to wonder, Mike, with those legs down, he's going to have a hard time moving around that ring.
That's why he's a veteran there, Scotty. Papa Stroll just playing with Pete Nixon. Just playing with his legs, talking to the crowd, taunting them.
Oh.
Drive that knee into the mat. He is just vicious.
It's called intimidation, Berlo. Intimidation.
Grabbing that leg one more time. He knows he has an advantage over Pete Nixon right now. That's why he's slowly and maniacally just playing around with him. And now he's got a... It looks like he's setting up a figure four leg lock right now. Oh, a slap to the belly of all things.
When Pete Nixon's in the ring, it's called a poor figure four leg lock.
Oh, just... Will you just call the match?
and Stroh.
Maestro dropping an elbow onto that knee.
Just dominant.
He must be in agonizing pain right now, Pete Nixon.
What did I tell you? The experience of Papa Stro here just wearing the big man down, taking him off his feet where he's most dangerous.
It's definitely an advantage right now, as he's totally in control of this matchup.
Yep.
Papa Stro's manager calling to get his Big Irish Pete Nixon's leg broken.
Nope, Pete's blocking it.
He's trying with all his might. This crowd is still behind Irish Pete Nixon right now.
Yeah, well, when Pete Nixon's in the ring, everyone's behind him.
Oh, you're just a bottle of fun. Oh, Pete Nixon broke out of a knee lock. Slowly getting up, trying to get some momentum going in this match. Oh, takes him to the turnbuckle. And again to the turnbuckle. Irish Pete Nixon is getting a little momentum back.
Come on, Papa, get out of it. Get out of it.
Ooh, a trip around the ring. And they're both dazed right now.
I don't know if Nixon's dazed or just a little buzzed.
Oh, Pete Nixon saying it's over. He's winding up his elbow. He's going for an elbow drop. He's waiting. Oh, what's that manager doing on the turnbuckle?
Is that Stuart Scott?
Hey, get out of there. You're not allowed to be involved in the match. What does Papa Stro have in his hands?
Oh.
What he has? What's he doing? He's trying to blind him. He has fire, of all things.
What is Papa doing?
What is he doing? Stop it! There's no business of this in the ring.
I can't tell what Papa has. I don't think he has anything, to be honest.
I think he's got the lighter up to his face. He's burning his eyes right now.
Oh God.
Fireball! And the ref is calling for the bell. How despicable.
What is going on here?
Trainer's going over to look over Big Irish Pete Nixon. What just happened here, Scott? We had ourselves a great championship match.
I don't know. Pete might be one big baked potato right now.
Come on now. The guy could be blind right now.
I don't know there. I think Papa Stro.
Get his manager away from him.
Oh, look.
This is despicable.
Rosenvald. Pete Nixon's stepmom.
The Nixon family's trying to help out. What is the meaning of this? Oh, this is despicable. Oh,
yes.
Branding iron to Big Irish Pete Nixon. And this what the hell? The match is over.
And this is why Papa Stro is champ, my friend.
Oh, this. Anybody can be the champion when you cheat to win.
Miscalculation.
I can't believe a veteran like Papa Stro would sink to such a level. This crowd is outraged. They're just silent, trying to see how Pete Nixon is doing right now.
Uh-oh, I think it's Black Hollywood's come out. Looks like members of Black Hollywood.
Thank God. The carnage that happened tonight. He's running after his manager. Oh. The man is running out of the building.
The manager's
out. The coward.
The manager's out of here.
I just want to know the status of Big Irish Pete Nixon, our friend.
And he's down to,
He took a fireball to the face, Scott. What did you think would happen?
Well, I don't know. I didn't really see it. It looked to me like an elbow drop won the match.
Fair
and square.
Papa Stro just strutting in the ring as if nothing happened. We're going to have to find out a medical report on how Big Irish Pete Nixon is doing. I'm just appalled by this, Scott.
Oh, Pete's limping
out.
A
great championship match ruined.
Tell him, man. Tell him.
In a sad way, the Manson family is going to brag about a victory tonight. I'm just appalled by this.
And then Papa Stro with the
get
belt.
Get away from those children!
With the belt and Lucy. Absolutely dominant over Big Irish Pete Nixon.
I can't believe this. A year and a half out of the ring.
Just world class.
You know this son of a bitch.
Ooh. Uh-oh. We have the promoter on.
I'll tell you what. These people, if we got a show next week in North Carolina, your ass is going to get the fire right in your face back, pal.
Wow.
Cool. People are not going to stand for this, Scott. Just appalling.
Well.
Fireballs have nothing for professional wrestling.
Sure they do. Sure they do.
This was not a hardcore match.
It was
These
just
were two titans fighting for the championship.
It was just a spark. Pete's fine. You know, I just think it was a way for him to get out of the match because of the fear he had for Papa Stroh.
Stop it. Obviously, Papa Stroh was the one that was scared, trying to use fire at the end of the match.
Well, I don't know.
Why couldn't he beat him one-on-one with Pete Nixon's family out here?
Well, this has been a broadcast of the verbal shenanigans first wrestling match, and Papa Stroh absolutely victorious.
Oh, stop
remaining
it.
Stop
it. Pete Nixon won by disqualification.
W.A. champion. Just like King Kong goes down, Papa Stroh predicted it.
We'll Signing be right off. Back.
All right, Berlew, hold on. All right, the main event is over. We just saw the end of the event, and the gym is closing down, and we're finally joined by Don Brower here, and he is the promoter, and I guess he's in charge of this whole shindig. Don, welcome to the show.
Thanks
for having
much.
Us out. First,
yeah,
off.
I'm the big boss. Sorry, my throat's a little scratchy. It happens when you're yelling and running around and promoting a show. The vocal cords take a hit for the next couple days.
So we got in touch very late. Pete Nixon was on our podcast months ago, and he said that he was wrestling again for the first time in ages. And
yeah.
Long story short, somehow we got in touch with you, and we got invited out. We interviewed a bunch of people. We interviewed Earl Hebner, which was cool. And,
great guy, Earl Hebner.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Tells stories, loves him. Love him.
We interviewed another ref. We interviewed the
Mike Orlando,
the tag team from the beginning. So a lot of cool guys. But we want to talk to you just a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes here and putting something like this together and why you do it and all that stuff. So why don't you give us a little insight here? How'd you get into this business?
I actually started in this business. I've loved it since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I've had family who has brought me to shows. My father was big into bringing me. Knew I loved it. I guess I kind of thought I'd outgrow it as I got older.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how true the connection is. Apparently, one of my grandfather on my father's side was an independent wrestler, one of his third cousins in Canada. Long story short, I wound up getting to go see WrestleMania 4 and 5 in Atlantic City Live.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So I got to meet Andre the Giant. And, you know, at the time, you're talking about a maybe 8-9-year-old kid. Your dad's huge to you. And my dad was a big man. He was like 325, 330.
Mm-hmm.
He made Andre look like a baby. So
yep.
I kind of, you know, fell in love with there. Always enjoyed it. Always wanted to do it. Never really knew because back, I'm 38. So back when I had done it, it was still, you know, very protected. It was very hard to get into. You didn't have to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, in my yearbook, when I graduated my senior year, they asked what I was going to do. And I said I was either going to be in the business side of pro sports, which I actually was. I used to work for the Star Ledger, and I'd done some stuff with that and reporting, and I still kind of do. Or I was going to be in professional wrestling. So it was nice to be one of the few kids at my 10 and 20-year reunion who actually did what they said they were going to do. Most of them are selling insurance now, and they were like, I was going to be a princess. And I'm like, you're 18 years old. Get over it.
Now, how'd you break into the business? What was the first break?
I wound up actually in San Diego in the Navy. I joined the Navy, and I met Ken Shamrock.
Okay.
And he had just gotten out of the WWE, and I went to train with him and another Navy guy who I wanted to tag team with. We were doing a thing, and we were doing like a New Jersey tag team.
Right.
And he wanted to charge us $6,000 a piece to train.
Wow.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm the Navy. If I see $6,000 in a year, I'm lucky. So I kind of got out of it, and I kind of liked it, but I never really paid attention. I didn't really train. I was like, All right, get out of the Navy. I come home, sell insurance for a little bit and that. Wind up moving to North Carolina. On a complete whim, I'm going to college, and I happen to be up watching TV. I'm doing my homework, and I hear professional wrestling come on the TV station.
You weren't doing your homework.
I was pretending. So I hear it go off, and I go, no, okay. And it happened to be local. It was pretty local, and I was new to the area and everything. I went down, and on the show was actually the Stro, who's here tonight.
Yep.
And he wrestled. He was wrestling a tag team match against Jake the Snake Roberts, a steel cage match. So I went down there, and I talked, and I wound up watching the match and everything, and for a future podcast, I have a very good Jake the Snake Roberts story from that night. It'll be a little long, but it's a good one. So everybody will tell you it's a great Jake story. So wind up talking to some people at the show, contact some people, say, hey, I want to get into some training. They said, hey, get in touch with this guy. Trained with him in Wilmington. His name was Mark Watkins, me, Mark Ash. Did some stuff with him behind the scenes and was training, and, you know, we're talking, this is early 2000s, ECW had closed, and I got some money, and people were, like, wanting to back me, some family members. So he had me help him, and I just kind of got involved there. He did it for a few years. 2005, he just kind of decided everybody was having their last show, and it was a good way to make a couple extra bucks in your pocket.
Okay.
He did that, drew about 30 people. I said, listen, I want to take over running the area. I have a creative mind, this and that. I did. All I did was put a 30-second spot on Raw that just kept with Flash Pro Wrestling this Saturday night, 7:30. And that's all it did for 30 seconds. It flash it, boom, flash it, boom. And I put a sign out front that said Pro Wrestling this Saturday night. We had 300 at the door.
There you go. Nice.
And that kind of started my show in the Pro Wrestling. And we just celebrated our 10th anniversary down in Carolina in July. So, I mean, we're coming up on, you know, going into our second decade. And, you know, as somebody who's been about wrestling, that's not a common thing. You see a lot of guys who do a year and a half, and that's it. And I'm, you know, doing my thing.
Now, you brought up, I believe you're telling Scott, the major differences in making a show in North Carolina and New Jersey.
Yeah.
What kind of hurdles you get from the state?
The biggest thing, I would say is respect, in a sense.
Okay.
What I mean by that is New Jersey is so condensed that I could run a show here, and as a matter of fact, there's a show running in Rahway tonight, and it's still somewhat close. Like,
right.
It's not too far away. In North Carolina, Wilmington's a big city, and then it's more kind of country, and then there's another city about 45 minutes away. There's not a lot of opportunity for, you know, somebody to run right next to you, which has happened. I've seen people run shows up here at a high school, for example, and here's the high school, and the PAL's, you know, a block down the road, and they're running a show there.
Yeah.
So down there, it's more of a, you know, kind of respected. And you know, a lot of the guys down there trade the old school way. It's such a different audience. Down there, it's kind of very simple. It's more the, you're the bad guy, I boo you, the good guy. You don't have to do anything crazy. It's not like a, you know, it's almost like, look at it as, down in Carolina, wrestling is very much old sitcom style. Now, up here, it's more kind of crime drama, almost like a Wicked City, something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, along those lines.
Right.
It's very involved. There's little subtleties and this and that. And it's just, you know, everybody thinks they're the greatest star ever. And it's just, you know, it's egos. More egos than anything. Mm. But I have no problem with it. It's just, it's such a contrast. And everybody always asks me. And it's like, that's why I don't run as much up here, just because that's how it is.
So obviously you're doing something that you love, that you enjoy.
My wife hates, but I love it.
So give me three pros of being a promoter in a wrestling company. Three things that you really enjoy or find beneficial.
I enjoy putting something down on paper and watching it affect people the way I was affected, and when it comes to life, exactly how I want it.
Right. Your boo's calling.
The wife calling. So they wind up doing like that. Like, you know, seeing the little kids, the eyes light up like I used to. Seeing that young talent that, you know, for example, there's a guy in NXT right now who's a tag champ, Scott Dawson.
Okay.
Worked for me when he was in the Carolinas. So seeing some guys like that who, you know, you wind up seeing going up. And honestly, like, tonight we had a couple big names here. meeting Earl Hebner was amazing to me. Because this is the guy who I know from, you know, most people see the Hogans. He was there.
Yeah.
He was right there.
Everything.
And he was the whole situation. And I remember hating him in 1988 when him and his brother cost Hogan the title. It's up, you know, I was mad. So, and he was so nice. And he's a guy who can have an ego for what he had. The nicest guy. So to see those guys. And on the flip side, it's also kind of seeing certain people who, you know, you kind of think are the coolest, and you kind of you see them, and you're like, you know what?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm sure you get to meet all sorts of people.
There's some people who understand that you can't be in the WWE for 50 years in wrestling, and then there's others who get out, and, you know, look, I'll give you a perfect example. Chris Masters tonight, he got out. He understands he has a really good shot to get back.
Right.
There's other people who have been released that I've actually seen on shows who you would think somebody shot their dog in front of them, and they were so depressed they wanted nothing to do with it, and you know it's going to bury them, and it just happens.
Yeah.
Now,
so, I was going to say, on the other side, three cons to running, to working in this business.
Money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Respect.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Are you Scarface? money, respect, and power? Was that?
No, I would say... a lot of ego, a lot of babysitting. Like,
so comedy.
Yeah.
We're all adults, and it's like some of the kids, I say kids, I'm dating myself like an old man. Some of the guys you deal with, and it's like, I can't take that move. This is going to hurt my character. And it's da 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 da. And I'm like, I'm trying to explain to them, like, we have a situation, this is how it works. Like, stop. Like, you know, I understand what I'm doing. Like, no offense, you know, nobody, if I'm bringing you in from Ohio, nobody in North Carolina knows where you're from, so they're not going to know you're the grand backyard champion, whatever you are. Nobody cares.
That was my title.
Now, tell me about tonight. Like, you had a situation where you had to get Chris Masters to fill in. Like, what was that like doing that on the fly and all?
Not good.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely, except for big shows, use names, and it's nothing to do. And Chris Masters was gracious and came in and. He's actually getting on a flight tonight to go to Mexico. He's wrestling Rey Mysterio tomorrow for Conan. So, I mean, he came out from L.A., have him. But it's annoying in the sense of you have a guy and there's no accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, Bobby Lashley. He threw a fit because the person who was bringing him in was supposed to pay him X amount and they canceled him 2 weeks ago. Bobby Lashley actually had the nerve to tell who he was dealing with that he wanted me to pay him $6,800 to be here tonight. And I said no.
$6,800?
Yes.
Wow.
That wasn't his for one night. He was promised that for the weekend, and when the other guy pulled out, he was mad. So, to me, like, I see Bobby Lashley, and, you know, so, like, to me, I don't see Bobby Lashley as a huge star. Like, people go, oh, he's on TNA. It's not. Yeah, you know how many people watching TNA? Like, and so, like, that. And everybody's like, he's a mixed martial artist. The dude's fighting tin cans. Do you understand? Like, who's he fighting? He's fighting nobodies. Like, I could get in there and get asked Lashley for 10 minutes. You know, let's not go that far. I'm old. Let's go a minute and a half. Maybe.
That's the next show in Parsippany.
Yeah. But, like, you know, you deal with stuff like that. You deal with, like, the egos. And like I said, these are guys who were, you know, in the big times. And now, you know, they've been out of it. And I don't want to say TNA's not big time because they get travelers, but doing gym schools like this and doing events like this, you know, you can see where a guy who's wrestling in Madison Square Garden might have an issue, but at the same time, that's what you signed up for. So we had that issue. Boogeyman was an issue with us because he was promised with the same agent, and then he signed a Legends deal a couple days ago. Why you couldn't have waited till Monday to sign the Legends deal? Because you lost three big bookings this weekend you could have done.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an issue. I don't know what really happened with Jim Neidhart. I got conflicting reports on what his situation was today. But, like, that's the biggest thing is everybody else who came through. And I don't think, you know, unless you were here specifically for one of those guys, I don't think anybody was disappointed.
Right.
No.
And
so
I think everybody had a good time.
So tonight you would view this as a great success then?
Yes, because, for example, this school – Parsippany High School has been amazing. One of my job, like I said, is a reporter. I cover them for high school wrestling, and I did it as a fundraiser for the Booster Club because, you know, we want something like that. They did more in 12 hours than the last show I did up here with two Booster Clubs doing it. Matter of fact, an unnamed wrestler and I sat at that show and played the game, pick who brought them, me or you. And it was like, that's my father and my stepmother. He went, that's my father and stepmother. That's it. And that was all that was there.
Right.
But here, this was very successful. And this was a success not only for what we did, but the Booster Club told people, but there wasn't the word out in the school. This was just word of mouth getting people out there. And that's what it is.
So if people want to check out UPWA, where can they go? Where can they see what your upcoming events or check out the wrestlers that are on it?
Then go to our website, theupwa.com. Put up a lot of information there. We have all that. We have merchandise, everything else. If they go to Facebook at UPWA Nation, we're on there. We post a lot of stuff. And we're very social media savvy. We're down there. As a matter of fact, our next show actually is this Saturday in Wilmington, North Carolina. And we were going to have a really good one. It's going to be Shaheem Ali, who actually has been on Ring of Honor recently, facing the Monster Sinister down there in a kendo stick match. So that'll be the main event for that. So, I mean, we're on a roll here. And we're actually debuting January 1st on Fox down there, the Fox affiliate, WSFX.
Oh, that's great.
So
we're going to be on Friday nights. We're on Friday nights at 2 a.m., not the greatest time slot, but we're on
it's
TV.
A time
we'll
slot.
Get it on.
That's
there.
How ECW
we'll
started.
Yep.
And that's what we're looking to do. We want to bring wrestling to what it was. And as you saw here, it wasn't a lot of the new stuff, but it was a lot of the kids with their families for the first time and experiencing it.
Having fun.
And being family friendly, but still being an edge. We had a fireball thrown. We had stuff that added to each side.
Right. All right, well, when we have more time, one day we'll call and talk more about the deeper part of the business.
I will gladly do anything, and we can go over anything you guys want.
And that Jake the Snake story.
Oh, I'll tell that Jake the Snake story to death. And I got some stories for you about some people.
I'm sure.
That's the one thing about being in as long as I have.
You see get
some
stories.
People, nice. You know everything.
But, Don, we want to thank you for having us out here. And this was a lot of fun, and love to do it again sometime.
You guys are more than welcome anytime. Take the trip to Carolina this weekend. Thanks.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
On the road.
All right, Berlo, it looks like our night is coming to an end here.
Yeah, we're literally the last thing in this gymnasium right now. They took down the entire ring. Wrestler's been running around, loading up the trucks. It's been a long day, but it's been fun.
Yeah, we thought about just staying here till Monday for the school and broadcasting live from the gymnasium.
They might have a wrestling match on Monday.
Yeah, but I'm gonna cut it here. It's been a great event. I want to thank Don. I want to thank Pete Nixon, who took a fireball to the face. Word says he's okay, though. Word says we just got word.
We're praying for you.
Prayers for Pete. Too soon. I want to thank everybody for being good sports and coming on and sharing some inside of the business, and Earl Heppner and everybody that's been on the podcast.
Stro, Mike Orlando, all fun interviews. Mm-hmm.
So, again, you can check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow us at VS Comedy, and we'll tell you what we're doing next. And life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
I fuck your ass and make you humble.
Fuck your ass and make you humble.
Put you in the camel clutch.
Ooh, the camel clutch.
Put you in the camel clutch.
Ooh, the camel clutch.
Put you in the camel clutch.
Ooh, the camel clutch.
I fuck your ass and make you humble.
Fuck your ass and make you humble.